If you don't know SiriusXM, then listen up. Commercial-free music, plus sports, comedy, talk, and news. They have it all. And right now, you can get your first 3 months of SiriusXM outside the car for just $1. Go to SiriusXM.com/busted to see offer details and to subscribe. Offer available to new SiriusXM streaming subscribers. SiriusXM, no car required.
This is the Busted Open Podcast. You can listen to the full show Monday through Saturday from 9 a.m. to noon Eastern on SiriusXM Fight Nation Channel 156.
Welcome in, pro wrestling fans, here again on a Saturday. It is time for the Busted Open Radio Weekend Edition. I am your host, Ryan McKinnell, joined alongside my weekly co-host, the one and only world's strongest man, Mark Henry. And Mark, that's, we got right, a show for the fans today, starting with, well, in 24 hours going down, TLC, Tables, Ladders, and Chairs. We got a full preview and predictions coming their way for the listeners. And we get into the story of The Miz and The Fiend and the developing evolution of one Bray Wyatt slash The Fiend. This has been a sight to behold, Mark, and it's just getting better.
Not only is it getting better, but it's one of those things that we look forward to on this podcast to get some closure in who's going to face who. Is he going to be facing The Fiend, or is he going to be facing Bray Wyatt?
And what happens after this match gets resolved, and what is Daniel Bryan going to look like when he comes back? Also, we're going to touch on, Mark, something that you and I are both very passionate about, and that revolves around AEW and NXT, and maybe, just maybe, why the venom and some of the negativity isn't as bad as people make it out to be.
You know what? We're going to hear a lot about that and the dialogue that comes from the conversation that Dave LaGreca and Tommy had with Cody Rhodes. It'll shed a lot of light on what we feel and what they feel over at AEW.
Absolutely, absolutely. And of course, it is a Saturday, so you know what that means, Mark Henry. If you ate first, you're last. It's time for our weekly winner.
And you know what? We have one for you in store. We're going to talk about the Cruiserweight title being changed, and we're going to talk about one of the best triple threat matches that we've seen this year. Hold on to your hats.
Hold on to your hats. Hold on to your butts. It is time. It is Busted Open Radio on a Saturday. Let's go.
I mean, Bray Wyatt, when I hear him laugh, I think about the Heath Ledger Joker. I hear, like, the current, like, the Joaquin Phoenix Joker mixed
squeal
with the Jack Nicholson character from The Shining, mixed with... it's just all of these historically really, really creepy, really, really traumatized, deranged entities in entertainment. And he's able to week to week come out and do that at a high level. I'm just like wondering, are we seeing the beginning of the greatness like we saw with The Undertaker? Are we beginning to see the greatness that we saw with an entity like Kane, how they built Kane to be this unbelievable monster that historically we will remember to the end of time? I think that The Fiend is on the way to being one of those style of characters.
Yeah, I don't think there's any doubt about it, and I think that's absolutely why Bray Wyatt's first match in the WWE, at least on the main roster, was against Kane. I was there. I believe it was at SummerSlam. It was an Inferno match, and that is what I think the WWE wanted starting years ago. And I go back to when Bray was in NXT, and he had those vignettes before as he was coming over from Husky Harris, and they were debuting him as this, you know, Bayou hillbilly hick, and he's creepy. He's got this aura about him, and he was cutting these promos about, you know, essentially saying he burned his dad alive in a fishing boat. You know what I mean? Like, that resonated with me, and that, I feel like that was like 7-8 years ago. Now, to sit and fast forward to what we're living now and the evolution of Bray Wyatt, there's been so many incarnations of Bray Wyatt, and very good ones, right? So it's been this natural, progressive build to what we're living now, but this definitely feels like, Mark, even off all the great stuff he's already done, this feels like this is his best work, and you know, even more so than that, it feels like this was tailor-made for him. It feels like this is what he should have been doing all along.
But you know what? That's what evolution is.
Yeah, for sure.
It's taking what is given to you, polishing it up, and making sure that you're able to do stuff that has not been done, and the stuff that has been done, you're able to make it different. So when people see it, they are not just see it, but feel it. They're able to say, you know what, this is a part of me as a wrestling fan now. And I was talking to a friend of mine the other day, and we were talking about me and the Hall of Pain.
Okay.
And how the Hall of Pain came to be. And there's always these backstories. And the backstories are just as important as your week-to-week issue. And you have to bring that back to people every week. And I don't know if there's another character in the last 10 years, maybe more, that the backstory continues every week with what's happening with the character on a week-to-week basis. And that's what Bray Wyatt is doing. And the Fiend is an, excuse me, the Fiend is an extension of that storyline. And that's why we love it so much, because it's like the soap operas or the stories, as Dave LaGreca calls them. Every show, they do a recap at the beginning. Last week, John killed and hid the body. Like, you have these storylines recaps. You don't have to do that with Bray Wyatt. Bray Wyatt does that for the Fiend, and everybody's caught up in it. And it's just an unbelievable thing, man. Like, we're witnessing what we've wanted all this time as fans. Something that we could connect to that gets our attention. And every week, regardless of who that character is against, you want to see it. And they open with it, they sprinkle it through the show, and they close with it. But when you have a character like that, sometimes the absence of the character is just as important as seeing the character every week.
Yeah. Now, you talk about the callbacks. Let's think about it. He did it last night when he talked about I had a family once. You know, it's the psychology of it.
Oh, it's so beautiful.
It is. It really is.
So masterful.
It is. And, Mark, I got to be honest. As we talk about that beauty and that masterful kind of nature of this whole storyline and where it's headed and where it could go, I don't know if anyone else could play this part. I don't know if anyone else could do. Yeah, I don't think so.
No, not at all. I mean, you know what? When I was sitting here going, oh, this guy would be good, this guy would be great, I'm not doing that. I'm not doing it because there's nobody that could be that character. He is that character. Listen. If I could go back and be in my prime, I would love to wrestle that character, because both of them. I mean, I could see the beauty in both characters. And say you have a match. Say Miz has a match with Bray Wyatt.
Right.
And, I mean, it's knockdown, drag out. And he ends up beating Bray Wyatt. How mad is the Fiend going to be? How mad? You did what? Just like what happened with Seth Rollins. Seth Rollins went into the Funhouse and he handed Bray Wyatt his ass. Handed it to him. Beat him down. Burned the house down.
Right.
What did the Fiend do after that? The Fiend took everything he had times five. And he came back in there and he beat the dog shit out of Seth Rollins. That's what the future is with this character. He can go in and handle people, or people can get handled. And then here comes the Fiend to clean up the mess that you're getting this sympathy for the character, but you're also seeing the retribution of all of the stuff that Bray Wyatt is suffering, what the Fiend is setting up. But the way that the Fiend fixes it is he goes out and he destroys everything that Bray Wyatt can't get done.
Right.
And, man, the only thing that I could think of is The Undertaker. Like, for whatever reason, The Undertaker sitting up in the middle of the ring after getting destroyed by hundreds of great Hall of Fame wrestlers. Hundreds. And sitting up and just turning his head and looking at them and standing up and just going. It was, that's what I'm getting right now. The anticipation of the entrance. Bray Wyatt's entrance could be anywhere from 3 minutes to 6 minutes. Just the entrance. Do you ever see people twiddling their thumbs? No. Do you ever see somebody go, golly, man, I wish we could just get to the match, and this entrance is just boring. It's killing me.
Right.
No, you don't. Like, enjoy this.
That's the opposite, right.
It's completely the opposite. People want more.
Yeah.
The music, fire.
Yep.
The ramp, him looking to the crowd and walking, is so creepy that sometimes I have to turn my head because I don't want to have nightmares. And then you have the lantern is a man's head. Guys, do you hear what I'm saying? It's a man's head. Like, he's got a title belt that's a image of his face stretched out to where it looks like it's hurting. Whew. Like, we're getting something that I hope that it lasts forever, like The Undertaker.
Well, you bring up The Undertaker. Yeah. Well, Mark, sorry, and I don't mean to cut you off. You bring up The Undertaker because we kind of talked about this, a few minutes ago to start the show. It's so hard to bring and induce fear in a world and a universe like the WWE because we know what we're watching. So you've really got to suspend our disbelief. You've really got to hit us in our chest. And they're doing that with Bray Wyatt. And I don't need to think about it. There hasn't been anyone since The Undertaker that's been able to do that.
No.
He's the first. And he's doing it in a real large way. He's doing it in a main event. No disrespect to the Boogeyman. No disrespect to Papa Shango, right? But there's only been a couple people that have been able to take a truly scary gimmick and take that to the main event and do it consistently. Bray Wyatt is one of them.
Like what you're hearing? Catch Busted Open live Monday through Saturday from 9 a.m. to noon Eastern on SiriusXM Fight Nation Channel 156 or on demand with the SiriusXM app.
So let's get into it as Gabby cues up the TLC. Obviously, pay-per-view going down in 24 hours, TLC, tables, ladders, and chairs. Mark, I'm just going to tell you right now, I'm going to start with my favorite match or the one that I am most interested in seeing because I'm most interested to see where the storylines branch off, and I'm also interested to see the continuation of this heel run that the Kabuki Warriors are having. So I am obviously talking about the Kabuki Warriors taking on Becky Lynch and Charlotte Flair. I just really like, I didn't like when the Kabuki Warriors debuted, Mark, from the standpoint that I thought both the ladies were better suited as solo artists, for better phrasing, right? I'm a big Asuka fan and her undefeated streak, and I know it came to an end, but we've seen how capable she can be and the popularity that she can drum up. But the work that she's done and the job that these two have done together as heels, Asuka and Kairi Sane, it has been extremely enjoyable. And Mark, this is a match that should highlight the best of all four of these. It's a TLC match. There's going to be a lot of possibilities, and we get to see Becky Lynch and Charlotte back together, and that would be interesting to see where that goes because we've seen them feud so much, but we know their backstory in terms of being friends and the way they came up together in NXT. So there's a lot to get to with this match, so I'm excited to see how it plays out.
You know, man, I had a first-hand account. There were two guys that I played football with growing up, and these guys got into it over a girl. And it affected the way we played as a team because they were both focal points on our team. And that's kind of how I feel about this whole Charlotte and Becky thing.
Right.
Like, when you're friends, there are days where you confide in your friends. You tell your friends your weaknesses. You tell your friends your fears. You tell them stuff that you see coming down the road and you want to share it with them. And when that goes awry, it creates such a friction and this, like, oh, my God, I hope they don't tell any of my business. Or, you know what I'm saying? Like, so it's the kind of stuff that's real life pain and hatred. And I think that I don't think that's going to be resolved anytime soon. I think that this is something that's going to drag around to WrestleMania. And I think that at that point, we will have the reconciliation of those two so they can battle a greater good. And what is that greater good going on right now? The Kabuki Warriors.
Well, right, in terms of this weekend, yes, the Kabuki right. Warriors. But if we are building, and you brought up an interesting point, like, right, if we're building to WrestleMania and the rebonding of Charlotte Flair and Becky Lynch, I do a little bit of a callback here in my memory, and it would feel like or suggest to me that maybe we would get that four horsewomen matchup of Ronda Rousey, Shayna Baszler, and Marina Shafir and Jessamyn Duke versus the four horsewomen of the main roster, well, at the time when they were teasing that, right? I could maybe that's what we're building towards?
Yeah, I think so. But more so, I think that we're getting – everybody is looking at the problem that Charlotte and Becky are having.
Well, of course, right.
Like, you need to have a hug moment. Like, I got your back. I'm still your friend. And it's us against the world. That story is the one that's got to be more. That's got to be told more. That's what I want as a fan. I don't think that's going to happen at this pay per view. I still think that they're still at each other's throats enough. Because even last week, it was like, can Becky get the job done where Charlotte failed? Was the whole premise of the fact that they both had matches
right
against the Kabuki Warriors. So that's not going to be resolved anytime soon. I think that's the meat of the relationship between those two right now. And we're just going to have to grin and bear until they get to the hug moment. Maybe it's not the Kabuki Warriors that bring them together. Maybe it's somebody else. Who is that going to be?
Right. And I'll tell you what, we talk about it, the hug moment not happening in 24 hours at TLC. I tend to agree. And I tend to agree also from the standpoint, Mark, that, well, from a booking angle, right? It's a TLC match. That tends to favor the heels, which the heels are the Kabuki Warriors. So I feel like they're going to be able to finagle their way out of this and retain the titles.
I don't know, man. Even on their best day, the Kabuki Warriors could have problems with Charlotte and Becky at the same time, even if they're at each other's throats. But like you said, the Kabuki Warriors, they work well together. There's no strife. There's no turmoil between the two. And they work as a machine. And Charlotte and Becky, the only way that they're going to beat those women is if they work together. And maybe this is not the pay-per-view.
Yeah. Well, another tag team matchup that we have in with the championships on the line, the Raw Tag Team Championships, the Viking Raiders are taking on an open challenge. Mark, I don't know what we're getting out of this. I think there's potential maybe the Street Profits get some shine and they get their placement or Mark, we could have a return, and then that, I feel like, would benefit the Usos. Like, do you think we could be seeing an Uso return in 24 hours?
You know what, man? Like, don't tease me with a good time. Man, that would be awesome. I didn't even think about it. Yeah. Look at what you just did. You made me smile, man. I don't know if y'all can hear this smile across my face. But good Lord, bro, you just sent chills down my spine. I got chills down my arms. Oh, I'd love to see the Usos return right now. That would really do it for me.
And, Mark, I think they would look great in the ring together. Just, I like the idea of the Viking Raiders and the Usos having an extended feud in it starting in 24 hours of TLC. Like, I like the idea of that.
Wow. Bro, you got me. You just punched me in the throat, man. You gave me the proverbial throat punch. Wow.
Jab. Right to the jab.
Jab, 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 right to the throat. The Adam's apple.
What about the other tag team matchup? We got the SmackDown Tag Team Championship going on with the New Day and the Revival. Feels like to me the New Day is going to retain, especially by one of my favorite moments last night. I don't know if you caught it, but Dash Wilder throwing the Shatter Machine on the outside. It's not really – it's one of those moves. I feel like Hogan's leg drop. Like when you do it, it's you're causing more damage to yourself than you are your opponent. I just got to crack up last night watching Dash Wilder take that bump to his back, and you can see it. Like, I was watching him, he kind of got up and he said something to Scotty. He was like, yeah, I did not like that. You could just see the way that he took that.
Let's don't ever do that again.
Yeah, let's ixnay the outside A. Well, I don't know. I don't speak Pig Latin. I'm an idiot. But what do you think? What do you think about the matchup between New Day and the Revival?
You know, I love it. I think that both really, really talented tags. The entertainment value that you get from the New Day. I just could see Big E sitting on the ropes, you know, bouncing up and down when teams come down to the ring and the dancing and when they're in the ring working together, both guys can work the start. Both guys can work the apron. The New Day really doesn't have a weakness. I think that Dash is the guy that's kind of more the ring general, and you know, like when they put themselves in a position to win, nobody does it better as a tag team. Like, you know, I just love seeing Revival work together. Like they work together better than any other tag team in pro wrestling today. And you know, we're going to talk about in our weekly winners what went on with Power and what went on with AEW and Impact, and we talked about ROH. Like, it's as a tag team, like an old school throwback tag team.
Mm-hmm.
Like, is there anybody else that works as good together as those guys?
I mean, it's few and far between. Yeah, I mean, there's a level at which they reach. I mean, the Briscoes are up there. You think of longevity. But, I mean, when they're on, when they are given the time to work, I mean, their matches against DIY, I mean, come on. I don't think so, Mark. I think you reach a certain level. I mean, you reach that 9 out of 10, 10 out of 10 level, and you're there, and the Revival is proven. And another thing that I like about the Revival, Mark, is that they are the Revival. They've been the Revival that, well, maybe not by necessarily the exact name, but they've been together. Their tandem has been together throughout their entirety of their tenure at WWE, yeah. And I like that. I like that. There's some cohesion. There's some consistency there, which I don't think is a coincidence, the fact that they're taking on the other, you know, stalwart of the tag team division, along with the Usos. No disrespect to the Usos, but obviously the New Day. New Day and Revival should be an outstanding match. I'm definitely looking forward to that. Mark, what about Rusev and Bobby Lashley? What do you think happens with that? Do you think this is going to be the end of that feud between these two?
I don't know, man. I think that this is something that I want to keep going on because I've got to the point now that it's my soaps. It's my stories.
It's your stories.
It's my jam. I want to see, you know, banter about going to jail. I want to see Rusev have a possible love interest and, like, to take his mind off, like, Lana get jealous. Like, I mean, there's so many other elements when you start thinking about writing a storyline that revolves around a love triangle. It's more to go. Guys, there's more stories to be told.
Don't take Mark's stories. Mark needs his stories. How's
I need my
survive?
Stories.
If you don't know SiriusXM, then listen up. Commercial-free music, plus sports, comedy, talk, and news. They have it all. A lot of people think you need a car to enjoy SiriusXM, but you don't. You can listen outside the car. Right now, you can get your first 3 months of SiriusXM outside the car for just $1. Just go to SiriusXM.com/busted to see offer details and to subscribe. You can listen on your phone, at home, and online. That's SiriusXM.com/busted. Offer available to new SiriusXM streaming subscribers. SiriusXM, no car required.
Want your best show of the week. I'm going to tell you mine. And you know what? I don't know if it was the best overall show. It just had the two clear best moments of the week for me. And I am talking about NXT, the triple threat between Finn Balor, Keith Lee, and Tommaso Ciampa. It was a really, really good match, just as far as that goes. It was a solid 8 out of 10, 8.5 out of 10 match. But more specifically, the match of the week, which I know we're not grading, it just happened to fall on this card, Angel Garza and Lio Rush. I mean, that was as good as it gets. The spots were outstanding. The psychology was outstanding. The build towards Angel Garza being a commodity in WWE continues. Lio Rush put him over. I loved that match. The rest of NXT show, not that strong. Those two matches, incredibly strong. NXT gets the nod for me for the weekly winner this week. What say you, Mark?
I have to second that. I have not agreed with everything that is going on with Lio Rush, as it's been publicized a lot, but
sure,
man, the dude can work, man. And that was one of the reasons why I was so upset. Is the potential for his greatness. And you can see him evolving. I hope that, you know, as a businessman, he evolves as much as his talent, because if that's the case, then Lio Rush is going to be somebody that we'll be talking about for a long, long time. He's really, really good. It was so impactful of Angel Garza, and I think that the emotions brought out the best in him. And like, he really, really shined. And you talk about sometimes, depending on how good the two matches are, they can lead an entire show.
Yes.
And when you get to the point where you have a match like the one we had with Lio Rush and Angel Garza, and then you go to the triple threat match to seal the deal, I know there was a point when Finn was in the corner and Keith Lee came up behind him like Jaws, it was epic, epic, epic match. And it carried that entire show, and thus the weekly winner being NXT. And everybody else, if you ain't first, you're last. So rather than talk about who was number two and who was number three, guys, you all lost. NXT is your weekly winner.
And you're right, man. You talk about it. A show does only need a couple good matches, right? Like the Cruiserweight title, the NXT Cruiserweight title, Garza and Rush. That was hour one. Hour two was the triple threat. And damn it, I don't care about whatever else came in between there, because I was hungover. I was reeling from the first match. I was still thinking about Garza and Rush. You know what I mean? Like, I didn't really care about what else
came. Oh, I know exactly.
Yeah.
I felt like the show moved fast, and I didn't realize how long the first match was and how long the last match. They dominated the time in the show. I mean, you look at it, and even the packages and the entrances, you had an hour pretty much of just those two matches.
Yeah, now I do want to say, because we got Cody Rhodes coming up here in a second. He was on Busted Open yesterday. We're going to be hearing from Cody coming up here in just a couple minutes. I do want to touch on AEW from this standpoint. NXT had the two best matches of the week. In terms of mic work, though, in terms of promos, AEW, what they had, first of all, Chris Jericho offering Jon Moxley a spot in the inner circle. I liked that. I thought that was supremely well done. I chuckled throughout it a little bit. I thought Moxley was in his element. Chris Jericho just continues to be amazing. Hey, I also should mention, I got my bottles of bubbly. I got my my order. Yes, yes. Very excited.
A little bit of the bubbly.
I'm not a drinker. I'm not a drinker.
Me either, really. Me either.
And, it wasn't high on my list of priorities, but I love the fact that Chris Jericho was able to do that and get that done just for the world of pro wrestling.
Yep.
Like, we transcendent. And I always say we because I feel like I'm a part of it still.
Well, you are.
But from a fan base, like our fans are a part of it. And it's our culture. So when we see one of ours succeed in something, we should all get behind it. So those that do drink, go and get you a little bit of the bubbly.
A little bit of the bubbly.
I don't drink, Mark. Like, I'm not frequently. I'm not a big drinker. And even so, I just felt like it was a time and place in professional wrestling history. I wanted to support AEW. I wanted to support Jericho's ideas. I wanted to support the company. So, I went out there. And you know what? I'll probably open one of the bottles. They were very smart. They made you have to buy two if they were going to get it shipped out to you. So it arrived. I have two of them. Maybe I hold on to one, and then I open another one for Wrestle Kingdom. That's what I'm thinking. Maybe pop a little bit of the bubbly for Wrestle Kingdom. We'll see. But, no, I love the promo between Jericho and Moxley in that offer. But more specifically, MJF, what he is doing at his age and his – I know we talk a lot about heel work here and how difficult it is and to stay consistent and to keep that passion and to keep it fresh. I tweeted about this when I saw it. It was a little delayed. But the love that MJF must have for professional wrestling has just got to be nearly undying. Like, to be as dedicated as that young man is to his craft and his ability to hold a crowd in the palm of his hand and the way he pauses and the way he works a crowd. Like, Mark, you can attest to this. He is light years ahead of damn near anyone else, even in his age group, his category, his generation. He is so good at his job.
Yeah, definitely in his age group, he's beyond a shadow of a doubt the best promo in the business.
Yeah.
Wrestling-wise, I want to see him really get heat on somebody, like to have some kind of a blood feud. That is going to attach him to the nation. Also, you need to see him betray somebody other than Cody.
He's got that was so set up, right? You knew that was coming.
It was very set up. So right. I think that he needs to befriend somebody else and get somebody else to kind of have his back. And then when he turns on them, then it's going to be, the problem is not everybody else. The problem is you. You're a snake. You backstab everybody. And it takes time to build those legacies. And he's got a lot of time to do it. He's a young guy.
And that's what's so exciting. He's this good now. What's he going to be? Right?
Yeah.
Absolutely. All right. So that was a little bit in terms of what I liked from AEW. But as Mark said, if you ain't first, you're last. And our weekly winner was NXT this week when you're busting out Angel Garza and Lio Rush and then that triple threat. I mean, I don't know if Finn Balor and Tommaso Ciampa and Keith Lee can do any wrong. I think you take any mixture of that concoction of those ingredients and you put them in a ring and it's just going to be a license to print money.
Like what you're hearing? Catch Busted Open live Monday through Saturday from 9 a.m. to noon Eastern on SiriusXM Fight Nation Channel 156 or on demand with the SiriusXM app.
Listen, I remember WCW and WWE, and I remember the Monday Night Wars. I was 13 years old in 1996, the year before that really kicked off, or right around when it did. I mean, that was right in my wheelhouse. It was everything. That was toxic. You had people legit, and I'm talking like face to face. There were arguments. People straight up did not watch the other show. Like, period. Whether you were like, some people were straight WWE, more so for a couple years, a lot of people were WCW, and it was like, yeah, giant middle finger to WWE at that time, right? And that was toxic. Right now, I feel like, yes, you hear stuff on Twitter, but that stuff on Twitter gets amplified. When you're face-to-face, listen, the reason AEW even exists is because pro wrestling fans like everything. Yes, they have their feelings about WWE, Mark, but I feel like that's because WWE has the most shows and they've been around the longest, right? But pro wrestling fans, we know it. You go to ROH shows, you go to Impact tapings, you go to New Japan shows, you go to wherever, you go to your regional shows, MLW, FSW, whatever the case may be, right? Bola, PWG, I mean, whatever the case may be, you go to your shows and you love it because you love the business. I feel like we're living in a very positive point in pro wrestling history where everyone's loving everything. And yes, there's some noise on social media, but Mark, who gives a shit about noise on social media? As far as I'm concerned, when I'm with my friends or I'm with fans, and it doesn't matter if it's WWE shows or AEW shows, Double or Nothing, people are excited about pro wrestling. That toxic,
pro wrestling.
Right, that toxic relationship, I don't see it. At least I don't see it face-to-face, Mark Henry, which
no,
I think is a huge...
I'm going to give you the true reason why AEW exists.
Okay.
The true reason that AEW exists is because of people not getting the opportunity that fans feel like they deserve. And Cody embraced that idea. And he put together a network of guys that had the same feeling. The Bucks, a company like the WWE, they like the big guys, big muscles, 6'7".
Right.
And they would never get an opportunity to be the tag champions, especially being that they are a more athletic, danger-driven tag team that thrives off getting the crowd in the holy shit moments.
The in-ring.
And that's not what the WWE preaches in their tags. And everything is unconventional. And then you have a guy like Chris Jericho who feels like, you know what? I'm Chris damn Jericho. I should get $1 million+ a year, $2 million+ a year. Why am I not getting this money? And this guy that y'all don't can't work half as good as me, and this guy can't entertain nowhere near as good as me, but it's my job to get him over, to bring him up so he can make more money, and then I don't get paid. Like, there was a lot of factors that put this into play. It wasn't just the fact that Tony Khan comes from a family of money and loves pro wrestling and is a good businessman.
Right,
he said,
you
know what? I want to invest in wrestling. No, he invested in an ideology of the disenfranchised, the guy that didn't get the big job, a guy that never would get the big push, the guys that don't look like what the status quo feels like they should look like. And Cody was able to bring all of those people into the same room and say, guys, I know enough about the business that I can run this and I can do this and we can all get together. And not only will we make more money than we ever made in our careers, but we'll be able to have a say-so. Don't that sound good to you?
Right.
And the fans are eating it up because – who don't want to support the little guy, the underdog? And when the underdog and the little guy gets a punch in and wobbles the big monster, now you have something. Mm. Now you have this movement of people that are like, listen, we might be David and we're fighting Goliath, but what happened to Goliath? We have the moment where we can actually do something to change the business. And it already did, because guys are getting paid more money because the fear of losing them to another company that didn't exist a year ago. So now you got people like, Luke Harper, who Luke Harper has somewhere to go.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, he don't necessarily have to go to AEW.
No,
he can go to MLW. He can go to
New Japan.
He can go to Impact, Japan,
AAA.
You name a place.
Yeah.
He can go somewhere. But the vying power, all those other companies, they're still going to have to pay him more because he's a viable commodity, and AEW could have him. You see what I'm saying? It's
absolutely
giving people another list of life, another chance at life in wrestling at the main event capacity because of the important thing that we talk about. Number one, TV. You have to have network TV. You got to be able to do it in prime time. And you got to have pay-per-views. And you got to have pay-per-views that have sponsors that's willing to put up the cash to be able to pay the major players. Chris Jericho is the major player on that brand.
Right.
Eventually, in this next year, there will be somebody's contract that's going to come up. And then there's going to be a renegotiation process with the WWE. And if it don't suit that person, in 90 days, they will be signing with the AEW. And then they will be another franchise guy on that network. Now, I'm not saying nothing bad about Dean Ambrose or any of the other talents, the Kenny Omegas and the guys lead AEW. They're really good. They mean something to the business. But as we all know, there is such a thing as a transcendent talent. Mm-hmm. And there are some transcendent talents on the WWE that do not get the play that they deserve. And some people are going to bet on themselves. They're going to say, you know what, man? Maybe I won't get into the WWE Hall of Fame now because I'm leaving. Maybe I won't get that, the stigma of a true superstar, because the true superstars are at the WWE. I mean, it's a stigma. This is what I'm saying is a stigma. I'm not saying, because I know the trolls will misconstrued my words, and they'll make it seem like I'm saying that the only true superstars are at the WWE. That's not what I'm saying, assholes. All of you guys and girls out there that take sides in wrestling, wrestling is meant to enjoy on all fronts. Like, you don't have to pick and choose. You have to enjoy it all. So that being said, it's going to happen eventually. And when it does, there'll be another spike in AEW.
Yep.
And the WWE don't want that. So what are they going to do? Ante up. Pay that fool. Ante up. That's what it's about. It's about the dollars. And it's about longevity in your career. If you work 250 days, every year that you work, you shorten your lifespan as a talent. There's no seasons. I don't believe in seasons. I believe in use what you got and give people a month or two break, so the well can fill up and they can heal up and they can be more productive at their jobs. AEW guys are not working as many shows as the WWE is. You can prolong your career. Or you can put your nose to the grindstone, make a lot of money right away, every day, all year long, and then you can like invest your money and make sure you don't end up on 30 for 30 broke.
So which should be required viewing for everyone.
Everybody in sports should watch ESPN's Broke. They should watch it because there are so many talent. I'm not just talking about wrestling.
Right.
Talking about football, baseball, golf, marbles, tiddlywinks, whatever sport you can play and make money at it, they're on there. And I've heard some stories. And you know what, man? Like, full disclosure, there have been times where I didn't claim enough on my taxes. And the IRS would come back and say, hey, yo, you owe us this. And when you got to write a check for a few hundred thousand dollars, it kind of tells you kind of what people are making. But still, I don't care how much money you make. When you write a check to the IRS for $100,000+, some people $500,000, some people $1 million or more, it hurts your ass to the end.
Well, Mark, that's your problem.
About it hurts. So you want to maximize the amount of dollars that you make because it's a short career. And you want to take care of your family. Everybody is not going to be on the radio. Everybody's not going to be on TV shows after it's all said and done and have a means to make a living after the fact. But these fans that choose, and it all goes back to that. It goes back to the fans that choose to hate on one or two or three different brands of wrestling because, you know what, I just don't like the big guy. I want to go for the underdog. I want y'all to get a hammer. I want you to put your hand on the table and slam the hammer down on your hand. You deserve pain. Stop it. Wrestling is for everybody to enjoy and have a good time with it. Invite all your friends over and eat pizza and drink beers if that's what you like. I prefer a really, really good iced tea. And sometimes I'll mix, you know, lemonade in it, you know, the Arnold Palmer thing. I have my things, but I digress. I'm just saying, for the people that are non-alcoholics, you know, we got to
go that route. Or
too.
A good, I like a good
eat
Mexican
yourself
Pepsi.
Into submission. I'm a true guy that loves to eat myself into submission. Take a nap. It's a beautiful thing, guys.
Tapped
but the point is, you have to enjoy wrestling. And bring the people. It's the conversations that, you know what, off the air, guys, I wish that me and Ryan McKinnon had an off-the-air show where we just talk about all the stuff that we do off the air and then edit it and then put it on for people to listen to. Because we don't talk about just wrestling. We talk about wrestling etiquette. We talk about food. We talk about what we like in entertainment today, whether it's The Mandalorian on Disney Plus, or do we go and start talking about Titans on DC app? Like, life is broad. If I was to sit here and say, Ryan, I hate the DC app because I'm a Disney Plus guy, how big of a moron do you think I would be? That's what y'all doing. I'm begging y'all to cut it out. Cody just said that if he saw Triple H, he would shake his hand and thank him for all of the stuff that he's done to help teach him how to be the guy that he is today. Hell, he said, I might even hug him. The stuff, the symbolism of what they're doing is not because I hate you. It's because I'm breaking out of your shadow. Every good mentor, every good coach, they stand and they compete against the people, but they also say, you know what? I'm proud that he learned what we were trying to teach him. Look at him now. Don't think that Vince and Triple H are sitting up there like, damn it, I can't stand them. They don't care. They worried about bigger picture things. They worried about who's going to be next. The show that they got to do tomorrow, they're not even factoring in all the stuff that other companies are doing. Y'all are the ones that got to wake up. And I'm saying this to y'all as friends because I've met a lot of y'all. And we have, 80,000 listeners a week or something to that effect? I can't meet everybody. I can't talk to everybody. But the people that I do talk to, that's who I'm talking to. I hope that y'all can understand that pro wrestling is meant to be entertainment. It's meant to be fun for everybody. It's meant to create unbelievable conversations with your friends that are the same as you, that love wrestling the way you do. That's it, guys.
Hey, Bart, let me ask you. We love wrestling. We got a pay-per-view going down in 24 hours. We need to get to some picks and predictions. We only got like a minute or two left on the show. So let's start with the main event, Bray Wyatt and The Miz. Who do you think wins and what do you think happens?
You know what, man? I think that Miz is going to fight his way from the bottom. And how he wins, I don't know, but I see the Miz pulling it off.
I do, too, because it feels like, I forget the caller, I think it was maybe Tyler earlier, he said he could see it, you know, Bray Wyatt or losing to The Miz and then The Fiend getting pissed off and taking revenge later down the road, which is something that I like the idea of that. What about Roman Reigns and Baron Corbin in their TLC match? I don't know which way they're going to go with this. Where do you think it's going to land?
I think, in my opinion, it's more important for the heel. It's more important for the bad guy to come out on top in this situation. You let Roman Reigns off the hook. And Dennis Green said it when he was the coach of the Arizona Cardinals. We let him off the hook.
The Bears,
we know exactly
who
they were.
We let him off the hook. Yes, I remember.
I don't think that Baron Corbin and the WWE is going to let Roman Reigns off the hook. They're gonna let Baron Corbin do what the bad guy's supposed to do, and that's dominate, cheat, and be disorderly in his delivery.
Thanks for listening. Catch us Monday through Saturday on Busted Open from 9 a.m. to noon Eastern on SiriusXM. Fight Nation, Channel 156. The Busted Open Podcast.